life-giving water messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part two of a four-part series entitled Rock and Roll, and today's message is specifically entitled Living on a Prayer, based off of 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24.
Today's scripture readings are from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. From 1 John. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And from 1 Thessalonians, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
Halfway. As Christians, we all know that prayer is supposed to be a vital part of our lives. However, how many of us truly devote time to this essential spiritual discipline? Often, when we do pray, it sounds more like an online wish list to God than it does a rending of our hearts in order to align ourselves with God and with God's will. Still, until we are disciplined in prayer, we aren't truly living the Christian life. Living on a Prayer is Bon Jovi's quintessential song. Even if someone doesn't know who Bon Jovi is or never have heard of the band and live under such a rock where that band's name has never come up at all, they would still know this song if they heard it on the radio. It is a quintessential rock song, and it is Bon Jovi's quintessential song. Everybody knows it. When people think Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer is the song most likely to be thought of first. Now, the song can be found on Bon Jovi's 1986 album, Slippery When Wet. It is a song about a couple, Tommy and Gina. Tommy works on the docks and Gina works at a local diner. That's a familiar story for us in New Jersey, isn't it? Somebody who works in the union, works as maybe a laborer or an unloader at the docks, maybe an iron worker. And Gina working at the local diner and relying on tips. You know, most people who work at the diner or work in a restaurant setting, they don't get paid your typical minimum wage. They usually get paid $2 an hour or so. And they're allowed to get paid that because they get tips on top of getting paid. It's a crazy kind of system, and those people can really struggle from day to day to day. And depending on whether tips are good or business is good, it can make it hard. These two, Tommy and Gina, barely make ends meet. However, their spirit cannot be broken because so long as they have each other, they have all that they need. Woe, we're halfway there. Woe, living on a prayer. Take my hand, we'll make it, I swear. Woe, we're living on a prayer. They're living in faith and on a prayer. This song is very relatable. As a former iron worker, like Tommy, I worked on the docks at Port Elizabeth. And this song's story has New Jersey written all over it. But we've all been there, haven't we? We've lived on a prayer and the hope that better days are out on the horizon. We know what it means to struggle and make sacrifices during a crazy pandemic. In fact, there are many Tommies and Ginas out there right now struggling in the midst of this blasted pandemic. The greatest thing about Living on a Prayer is its title. It suggests not only praying, but living. To be living on a prayer indicates an active kind of prayer life, one in which the prayer is coupled with living, with action, with movement. This is the kind of living. This is the kind of Christian living that we find in John's first letter and in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. In John's letter, we find that prayer is at the center of the Christian life. It is essential to fellowship with God. For John, prayer comes out of humility. As humans, we must be humble to acknowledge that we need help. Humans are stuck in the darkness. And without Christ, there is no light. There is no way of escaping that dark reality. We are too mired in sin, too stuck on ourselves to ever have the ability to save ourselves. For John, those who were leaving his community because they could no longer believe in what they were teaching about who Jesus was, for him, those people were never even truly Christian, because if they truly understood who Jesus was, there's no turning back from that light into the darkness. I mean, yeah, we can slip up and we can end up in darkness, but there's no way that you're going to completely abandon the path when you truly know who Jesus Christ is. And so he focuses his letter then on the people who are still there and encourages them to continue to look toward that light, to continue to follow the light, to continue to live in the light. If we deny that we need God's help, or if we are complacent and never turn to God for it, then according to John, we are not practicing the truth. Notice it. It's not believing the truth. We are not practicing the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That kind of prayer that John is talking about is a confessional prayer that leads us to spiritual liberation and eternal life. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul also places prayer at the top of a list in which Christians should carry themselves. He writes that we should always be joyful and never, ever stop praying. Those two things will steer us away from stifling the Holy Spirit, which Paul saw happening in his church communities. These two things will steer us away from stifling the Holy Spirit and scoffing at prophecies, which goes on a lot nowadays, right? God forbid you stand up and tell the truth about something, and people will scoff at it, laugh at it, call you political, tell you that you need to just worry about religion and not this issue, let the politicians handle that. And all of that is rejecting the prophetic voice. God called prophets to stand up against the status quo. Why? Because the status quo is not in line with God. So if we're scoffing and stifling the Holy Spirit, we're not truly connected to God or to God's will. Prayer connects us to God. In other words, if we are living on a prayer, we will see that we have been made holy and have been given a peace that passes all understanding. In fact, Paul tells us that our faithful God will make this happen. You, my friends, you are being called to live on a prayer. Like Tommy and Gina, you should be praying unceasingly and living out your Christian faith. Trusting on your Lord and Savior to see it through to the very end. There is a far difference from praying to God for something to happen and sitting back and waiting for God and, you know, where's God? When's God going to make this happen? There's a big difference from that to actually living out your prayer. Not just praying to God, but actively being a part of what God is doing. And trust me, friends, when you are praying that sort of prayer, you are living in union and in unison with God, and you will be praying for God's will rather than your own. This is what we're all called and supposed to be doing. If God is with you, who can stand against you? Think about that. If God is with you, who can stand against you? You are a beloved child of God, and our God is faithful. However, the only way we will align our hearts, our mind, our souls, and actions with our Lord is through vibrant and unceasing prayer. Sisters and brothers, I am challenging you once again to join me in growing in your prayer life. I'm asking you to join me in growing in your prayer life. This past Tuesday, I accidentally forgot to join on Zoom. So I'm going to start this up this coming Tuesday, I promise. This past Tuesday, I got sidetracked and had meeting after meeting, and so it didn't come into my mind. Again, building a discipline takes repetition. It takes doing something over and over and over again. So I hope that you will join me this coming Tuesday to be a living example of who we are in Jesus Christ, to be a people who pray, who intently pray. And so I hope that you will join us and that you will choose to come and be a part of this prayer group on Tuesday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Living and praying are not mutually exclusive at all, but are part and parcel to one another. Let us be a people who continue to strengthen our relationship to God through constant and consistent prayer. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for all it is that you are doing to bring us closer to you and to bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth, Lord. Right now, this earth is ruled by other forces, forces that are opposed to who you are. But we know, Lord, that you are calling us to be a part of reconciling the world to you and bringing your reign here on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, help us to be a people of vital and vibrant prayer. Help us to be a people of love and of compassion and of prayer, so that we also may be a people of action and response and presence. We thank you and praise you in all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.